1st of May. The calendar turning. We're ready to talk a little Michigan football, and we've got a former Wolverine, as always, front and center with us here. That is Jim Scarcelli, who joins us on this Wednesday, May the 1st. Scar, it's great to see you. What's going on?
It's all good, Danny. I'm rocking the St. Clair Shores Lakeview shirt. You see that Lakeview Huskies?
Lakeview Huskies. I do see it. Yep.
Former guy that I coached. Former player is the head coach there. He's been there building a program. Danny, they run one formation the whole game on offense. So there's a lot of ways to win. There's a lot of different philosophies offensively. Be real, real good at a few things or run a lot of stuff and try to fool them. Anyway, he's found that, you know, he does a good job with one formation. They'll block the same play three, four different ways. So even though you think you got something figured out on defense, no, and now he's going to block it a different way. You got it? So they don't even call a formation in the huddle. I mean, what's that got to do with Michigan and what they got? But I think Sharon, you know, I'm trying to figure out where he is. Because, you know, I've read every darn book. Coaches read books about different coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, I read the Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi. They coached together, Denny, for many years with the New York Giants. Anyway, Lombardi was one, you know, the Packer sweep. Very few things. Tom Landry was a bunch of stuff. Try to fool you with, he was the defensive guy. Anyway, there's different philosophies. You can win with both. And I'm trying to figure out, I think Sharon Moore is going to be a lot like Jim. Even, you know, if you look at the scrimmage, you know, there was a whole lot of old school Jim Harbaugh Stanford that first couple drives, just, you know, a few formations. So anyway, we're going to find out, man. Is he a less formation? Be real good at less stuff or a lot of stuff, because when you run a lot of stuff, then you have more mental mistakes. I know I threw a lot at you, man. I just had to coach you up a little bit there.
Well, I like it. I like being coached up. I look to the last couple of years. Sharon's, he's got a lot of new guys on his staff, but he was around at Michigan for a while. And as we saw him as an offensive line coach and as we saw him as an offensive coordinator, I don't think the offense is going to look a whole heck of a lot different. And we know over the last 3 years what they were able to do with this Ravens defense, and we know what Wink's background is. So I don't think there's, you know, I think they're running it back. I think there's not going to be a whole lot of difference between Jim Harbaugh and Sharon Moore when it comes to the X's and O's. I would say certainly the philosophy of how Michigan's going to try to attack and win next year, I'm not expecting a whole lot of different stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been looking at what Wink's doing. He's got some little tweaks differently, but the foundation, the fundamental foundation is the same that we've been doing the last 3 years, and the same thing on offense, which is great news for Michigan fans, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Michigan wants good news, and let's get to the news and what we're going. Now, see, that was already something a little bit different, so it's not everything that we're going to talk about, but mostly what we're going to talk about, recruiting. Big shocker that has some Michigan fans panicking about a running back from Ohio who is headed south. I'll see what Scar thinks of that. The spring game, which Scar was referencing and talking about, he's got some video, and we'll look at a few plays. I have a great time. I enjoy watching Scar go through the X's and O's in the spring game. But we'll start this picture. You know, you've seen a lot of pictures of the NFL draft. This was a picture that actually Scar sent me last Thursday from the NFL draft. And Scar, you've got a cat bird seat there, bird's eye view of the entire thing of Campus Martius and the stage there with, man, I know how big that Aiden Hutchinson sign was because I saw a lot of, you know, pictures of it. Man, you're really zooming in there. Are you in a building? Are you out on a ledge? Or what? Where are you at?
My buddy had a hookup for a party, and I got involved. I got the tag along ticket, so I was there and eating like crazy. And right on the, it was purposely rented for that event. The guy realized where it was, and anyway, had a great seat, great view. If you look down below, you know, I didn't even think about it at the time, but you could see all the snipers, Danny. The snipers were posted up along some of those buildings. And I didn't take that picture, but anyway, just thought you might want to know that. But it was a great view. It was a great event for Detroit. I did walk down there and take a peek. And it's amazing, man. Every team in the NFL was represented. I saw everybody, you know, Denver and the Chargers and Raiders and 49ers and Packers, and everybody was represented. You saw somebody wearing something, and people come from all over the country to go to that event. But it was, Danny, I'm a long time suburban Detroit guy. And I remember Detroit back in the days, and it was just a beautiful event. People getting along. We broke the record for attendance. Peaceful event. Happy businesses filled up, Michigan players getting drafted. And Danny, I owe you a hamburger. Only 13 guys got drafted. I thought McGregor, the guys, when I did my math, I thought McGregor and Trent Jones and even Nugent. I thought from what people I had talked to, I was really shocked McGregor and Trent Jones didn't get drafted. But we got 13, and it would have been nice to get a couple more.
13's not bad. Were you sitting outside where you were at there, or were you behind?
No, we were inside here. It did not have a deck, but yep. I walked down to the, you know, where the mob of people, you know, where that was. Took a little peek, took a walk for a minute down there.
And so what, they had the audio cranked up where you were at, so because you could see the...
Yeah, you know, we were way in the back, and I didn't want to get... The people, we were down there, you know, 2 o'clock, 3, and there was already that was already two-thirds full, you know, the crowd facing the stage there. And that was 6 hours before, you know, it started. But it was a... just a beautiful event for Detroit, man, and for Michigan Wolverines. And I just was real happy with the whole deal, man.
Yeah. You know, I really liked when they said, I didn't know that they were going to do it, but leading up to day two, about an hour before, I saw that they were going to honor the championship Michigan football team. And I thought, well, this is a great move by the draft. And they had a number of them. I don't know how many. It looked like, I don't know, 20, 30 of Michigan players went up there, and they had the national championship trophy, and they were able to stand up on the stage and be recognized. I thought that was pretty cool. They played the fight song, and you know, you could see half of the crowd was, you know, cheering for them, and a few Spartan fans booing, and, you know, that was it. But that was great. You know, Sherrone Moore was up there. That was a great visual. So, you know, it was Detroit. You had 13 of the Michigan players drafted, but, you know, Michigan wins the championship in the year that it's in Detroit. And then, you know, the Lions, Scar, for years, if the Lions would have had this draft in any other year, people would have been laughing at them like, oh, this is their Super Bowl. And, oh, yeah, the Lions suck. But there was none of that. It was, you know, the Lions are really good. And in 1 year, man, they have turned it took more than 1 year, it took a couple drafts, but the success that they had last year, it really helped for the positivity of everything, man. It was a home run all the way around, man. It couldn't have been any better.
Yeah. And just want to say this, you know, I was listening to Saban then the last couple of days. I thought it was awesome to listen to Nick Saban. You wonder why the guy won? Listen to him analyze players and all the little things. I wish those other guys would just keep quiet and let Saban talk, because I thought he was just brilliant listening to him. It was awesome, man.
You didn't want Desmond talking?
I don't know. I'd rather listen to Saban, man.
I'm just kidding with you.
I'm just Saban, keeping it real with you.
Yeah, that's all right. Saban does a good job. You know, when they had Saner still, he was like, this guy's pound for pound the best guy in the draft. He gave us trouble the whole time.
Yeah, and that, what you were talking about with you know, for the Michigan to get to mention the champ, all that stuff helps recruiting, man. Anytime you can bring that up in the media, it all helps recruiting. Danny, did you get a picture of the four rings that they're getting? Did you see that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. We've got to show our viewers what the players got. Because I noticed that we got the kid from Chicago. It's like not long after they got their rings. I think it was they gave the rings that day. And maybe a couple of days later, we got the commitment from that kid. You know, you just wonder. But we got to show the viewers those rings, the pictures of they got four rings for one season. And we'll get it up and we'll explain it maybe next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think most people probably have seen them, but I don't mind putting them up there and taking a look at them again. They were pretty cool. The championship ring. What do you get? You get a championship ring, a Rose Bowl ring, a college football playoff ring, in the Big Ten championship ring. Is that how it was?
Yeah, I thought maybe one was for the – I was trying to figure out what four rings were for. I thought maybe they got one for the East Division and then one for the Big Ten championship. But it was Big Ten championship, qualifying for the Final Four playoff, you get a ring. I guess winning the Rose Bowl, you got a ring, and then winning the championship was another ring. So that's a lot of hardware, man, for 1 year, which is a great thing.
Well, it's a great thing, and it was great that they're now going to 12 teams, and Michigan was able to do it with the way that it was for the past few years. It was just like getting to Indianapolis before they changed anything around. Wanted to see them get there with the rules that they had. I like that. And now who knows, but you know, you mentioned recruiting, Scar, and you know, today's a good day to, I don't know if sometimes different days people need to be talked off the ledge, but you know, there was a running back from the state of Ohio and named Davis, Marquise Davis, I think his name is. And, you know, Michigan looked pretty good. And Tony Alford, their new running backs coach, you know, knew him well, of course, you know, had a relationship because he was, you know, he's in the state of Ohio and he's like the top player there. And then Alford, you know, at Michigan. So then he goes to Kentucky today and Michigan fans are one, they're like, Tony Alford, you know, can't recruit. Two, you know, Kentucky's just throwing money at a kid. You know, three, you know, Michigan, they got to start paying players. I mean, so those are the three things that are talked about right now. Just give me a reaction, you know. And so,
where's he from in Ohio? Is he Cincinnati?
Cleveland.
Oh, he's Cleveland. Because, you know, there's a lot of, since Kentucky is building, you know, last 6-8 years, man, Stoops is an Ohio guy. Those are Youngstown, Ohio guys. He's recruited the heck out of Ohio. He's got Vince Morrow, who's supposed to be one of the just assassins on the recruiting trail. And they get a lot of Cincinnati guys. It's you know, my buddy Eric Caddis' kid plays there, and he loves it. He loves the kid loves it. The old man loves it. They got a lot to sell, man. It's not and every kid goes on his visit, and you don't know what's gonna feel comfortable with, Danny. Maybe the kid looked in. You know what? He's a 25 kid. He's a senior coming up this year. You know, maybe he looks at in the locker room and he sees the kid from Moeller. You know, he sees the kind of, I don't know, he sees the stable. He sees the stable there, and he's like, you know, maybe I don't want to compete with that. We don't know the answer to that question, that it's just NIL. It's the running back coach not being able to recruit. We just don't know, man. The kid has his reasons. Stoops has got a lot to sell. They're good recruiters there. We lost kids from the city of Detroit to Kentucky, man. The top recruit. About 3-4 years ago, the number one recruit in the state of Michigan went to Kentucky about 3-4 years ago. You remember that kid? I forget his name, but yeah, the guy can recruit, and we can't get beat up over it, man.
Yeah, and in recruiting, so it's changed drastically even since last year. NIL has had a factor in recruiting. There's no doubt about that. And then, you know, now – the rules where you can, you know, the NCAA has said that, you know, they're not getting into investigating anything with you know, prepayments because of these lawsuits that are going on. So in effect, while it's still, you're not supposed to be, you know, waving money at guys, the NCAA because of these antitrust things and what's going on in Virginia. They said, look, we're not doing anything about it. That was pretty much the statement. So that's got Michigan fans. There's been some responses today. One is that they got to get their NIL together. So, and the other one is that, you know, they're never going to do anything with Ward Manuel as their athletic director because he's, you know, putting a stop sign, all that.
And you know, Benny, let me say this to counter that whole argument.
All right.
And I got to believe that the football program is getting the same kind of, after what we've just done. Are people taking a look at what this Dusty May is doing and who he's bringing in and how the job he's done recruiting? I mean, he's got to have an NIL,
war chest.
He's got to have a war chest, a wallet, something. I mean, I am thoroughly impressed with the kind of talent that he's bringing in. The kid from Yale, the kid from FAU. You know, we got some players coming in here, and we have to have something to give them. So I don't know if I agree with that argument because I know basketball is doing something to get those kids. And we haven't lost a ton of – we haven't lost – the only guy that we lost of note, and this is one of the greatest things Sharon has done, is we lost Sab to Alabama. And we probably wouldn't have lost him if Moore would have gone pro or even the Page would have gone pro. You know what I mean? So yes. I think we're doing a good job of keeping what we got. And maybe Michigan isn't offering a ton to unproven freshmen.
I think that's – there you go. Yeah, I think you hit it. I mean, it's a strategy. It's not just Michigan sitting back there saying, we're not doing this because we're Michigan or we're not we're above that or attack. It's a strategy. I think that what we saw last year, NIL was really big for Michigan. Michigan was able to take players like Blake Corum, and we can list another five, and they were able to keep those guys and pay them. To your point, there were a bunch of guys on this year's team from people were like, oh, they're going to lose everybody because people are just going to throw them money. Well, they stepped up. These guys got paid, you know, the Kenneth Grants and Will Johnson, you know, those guys, they didn't just stay around because, you know, they – you know, maybe because they love Michigan, but they also – Michigan took care of them. So Michigan's taking care of the players that they have on the team. And to Dusty Mays, Dusty Mays done this in the portal. And Michigan last year was able to get 10 guys out of the portal. And I think that they paid. I think they said – and basketball was able to get a guy out of the portal last year. I think Michigan views the paying the money, and this is from players that are in college, different than preps. And that might be some fine line. That might be something that you look at if you're a lawyer or, you know, they're trying to stay above board. You can say, well, you know, we have these conversations because guys are already in college and they're transfers. That's different than, you know, paying preps. I think that's the decision that they've made here. Like Dusty May, he didn't kill it with any of the recruits that were in high school. He got all guys that are coming in via the transfer portal.
Proven guys.
Yeah, decent guys. I'm glad. I think he's done a nice job. You know, he didn't get John L. Davis. I know that's got a lot to do with his transfer credits, but, you know, he's the top guy in the portal. They weren't going out there and getting, like, what you would say, a five-star in high school or the best guys in the portal. They got some decent guys, but, you know, it's not like they were lining up and, you know, throwing money at, Store or John L. Davis. There was a finite amount of funds there. You know, they weren't killing it. Like Kentucky's going out there and Arkansas, and, you know, they're going after guys and they're paying them. He's done a good job, but I think it still comes down to the money part. And I just ask people, like the fans, everybody can have their opinion. If you're a fan, you say Michigan's cheap and they should start throwing money at recruits because I want top recruits. That's fine. I mean, you can say that. And there's a lot of people that I think would, you know, I might even be the majority of people would say that they wish that Michigan would get involved and start promising money to prep players. But if you ask Michigan grads what their opinion of admissions and what their opinion is of paying players before doing, which is against the rules, technically, are you for that or are you against it? And they are against it by it's a wide margin when you talk to Michigan grads. It's way different than just fans talking. So, you know,
Michigan
serving.
Yeah, Michigan grads, basically, Danny, what you're saying is Michigan grads do not want the academics compromised.
That's right. Right. Right.
Exactly. I understand that. I totally understand that. And they want to
blatantly cheat, which has been their calling card. They have died. They didn't die because they won the championship, but paying high school players, Harbaugh emphatically with the transactional or transformational over transactional tripled and doubled down on it during NIL. And while he's been here, when he took a shot at Clemson about paying players and, you know, it has been Michigan's, whether it's an excuse or I think it's both a reason and an excuse why Ohio State was having so much success all of those years. Because they were paying the players in Michigan. That was a hill that they were like, we're not doing that. I think like Ohio State and other teams in the South, they always said, like, I talked to their fan bases and fans. They're like, I don't know why you guys care about that so much. Nobody cares except you guys about that. And then they would say
about academic standards,
not about academic standards, about paying players that were in high school. And they said, it's going to happen where they're going to pay them anyways. And then what are you going to do? Well, that's where we're at right now. I think a lot of it, Michigan has to get pulled kicking and screaming into
the bottom line is if you got the right leader, you can get it done. Okay. Jim got it done. He got it done. He found a way. If he didn't have, look, you take the Michigan job, like Dusty May now, okay? You know, I've heard some of this stuff. We couldn't get the kid in to transfer to Arizona, Caleb Love, whatever, some of these guys.
That's right.
Academics. Well, you know what? If I'm the coach and I'm going to look at his transcript right away before I even waste time on the guy, can I get him in? If I can't get him in school, I'm not going to waste time on him and hope and wait to the last minute to be told no. So you got to know what you got when you go to – you coach at Michigan, you got to deal with this. You coach at Northwestern – Vanderbilt, whatever. You got to deal with standards. Stanford, you got to deal with it or don't take the job. So Jim got it done. Okay. Beeline got it done with the academic standards. He didn't have NIL, but Dusty May, you got to adjust and adapt to wherever the hell you're coaching and take the best thing they have to offer. You know, hey, Michigan's academics, Danny, they probably were a big reason why we got the kid from Yale as a basketball transfer. You know what I mean? So you got to use it to your advantage when you can, and if it. But listen, I'm not. Was he a 5-star kid? I'm not going to lose a bunch of sleep over that Kentucky kid. Is he a 5-star running back?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm not. You know, look, they've done well, man. They got a kid out of Detroit. So Kentucky is Stoops and Vince Morrow, super recruiter. Jim Hott tried to hire that guy. He's good, man. Vince Morrow is good.
And I don't want to bite the hand that feeds me. We're talking on rivals here on an amazing Blue Review, which, you know, follows high school recruiting. But the way that things have changed, and we see all of the different players in the transfer portal, how important, like, people, if I could tell you that Michigan would end up after winning the national championship and winning the Big Ten for 3 years, that they would have a top 20 recruiting class, people would be like, that's unacceptable, you know, and scream about it. But I don't know if they're getting guys, if they're really approaching them and saying, hey, we're bringing you in, and they're trying to play the long game with them. And you can lose half of your players anyways, if you start just looking at the roster and maybe you have a approach to then get in the portal. I mean, they've got smart people that are on this. That maybe we shouldn't worry as much about recruiting now. They didn't kill it in the transfer portal. We understand that. I think that you shouldn't worry about recruiting as much as you have in the past because of how the rules are changing. And then, it looks like there is going to be revenue sharing. And if Michigan really had a big wobble where, and I know that one of the Harbaugh's classes wasn't a top 25 class, and they were like the backbone of the team that ended up winning one of the Big Ten championships. But I don't know if Michigan finished, I'm not hoping, like, outside of the top 30, and, you know, they weren't able to grab. I think that they'll change. I think that they'll change. And could it be a gap that, you know, hurts the program and hurts Sherrone Moore, you know, for more than one season? I mean, that's what is there some danger in that? Sure. But, you know, the everyday panic when you're losing somebody, like, these guys can't recruit and they've got to change up and they've got to pay. And there's no, you know, OT could go out there if he had $10 million and he could start bringing in 5 stars right now if he wanted. So, you know, who you're telling is not Ward Manuel. You're telling deep pocket Michigan alums or friends of the program to dig into their pockets and go after and get some of these big stars. I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, look, I'd rather lose out on a four or five star kid than lose Mason Graham or Kane Grant. So let's, Danny, do you have that? Can you put that thing up, that that thing we talked about with the, yeah, there we go.
Okay.
You want to explain that?
Well, the first number is where these guys got drafted in the NFL draft. So if you look, and for those that are listening on the podcast, we have a list up there. You've got J.J. McCarthy. He was picked 10th by the Vikings. And then the next list is the composite recruiting ranking. So you got Rivals and the other services. One of the services takes three or four of them, and they get the mean number for those that don't follow it and don't know what a composite is. That's what it is. So J.J. McCarthy got picked 10, but he was a composite top 25 recruit. And then you can see it goes down within, you know, 10 players or so and where they're all at. The thing that jumps out, Scott, just looking at it quickly, is that where the players got drafted and where their composite was, Michigan, Trevor Keegan was thought of as he got picked 172, and he was a composite 178. Everyone else is like way off. Michigan did a really good job in getting these guys and then getting them drafted. Looking at these numbers.
Yeah, there's, Danny, what this says is a couple things. It says, first thing it says is that maybe some of the ranking people aren't as smart as Michigan coaches were identifying little things, character, toughness, work ethic, that maybe it didn't show up with the evaluators. You follow me?
Yeah.
That's one thing when you look at that Jim and his staff have done a great job of looking at little things that guys don't recognize. The other thing it says is that we took three-star guys and really developed them a heck of a lot more than other people did. We took four guys and made them, you know, All-Americans and first-round draft choices. This is the ultimate compliment. If I'm a coach, this is like the ultimate compliment you could give me to look at this chart. And if you want to put some of them other names that didn't make, you know, you got cut off on your list. But, you know, because I coached against guys that had four and five star, you know, four or five Division I Notre Dame kids, and we beat the heck out of them. And then I've coached against other teams that didn't have one kid, maybe Wayne State, and they were a bunch of 5 foot 11 inch assassins that were well coached. And they were wars with us, you know, so because they were coached up, technique, toughness, and they did all the little things. Anyway, point is, you got to coach them up. And Jim and Ben Herbert and our whole system, you know, took that. And then and then the pros see it too then, because Jim developed them as players. So there's a lot going on there. That number is like the ultimate compliment for Jim Harbaugh and his staff, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. He did a great job. He, you know, he didn't necessarily turn water into wine, maybe on a couple of them. When you look at Mike Sainristil, where the number is like 589, he ends up being the 50th player off the board. Chris Jenkins ends up being, you know, they went 49-50. Chris Jenkins was a 502 when you're talking about a consensus ranking, a composite ranking. Those are the remarkable ones. AJ Barner got picked 121 in the draft and it was in the thousands.
And then, but to win, Danny, you look, he identified guys that weren't as highly rated as the pro rating guys from the different services. And then he developed them, and then you win also. So you do all of that, and that's coaching and that's leadership. And that's what we want Sharon to continue to do. Identify. Look, Ohio State, what do you got? Ohio State's numbers are flipped. They're all flipped on that list, right? They're going to have higher rated. All their guys are going to be higher rated high school recruits. And then where they got drafted will be the other side. And then we beat them the last 3 years too. Okay, so we want to be on that end of the chart where we are right now. with still hanging championships.
I'm with you on that. Good point on Ohio State, and that is the mark. There's a lot of marks of an excellent coach, but getting lower rated players and then getting them out on the field starting for you and then getting them drafted is a telltale sign that you're doing a hell of a job at developing it. And I would say to the Barner one, nobody was really excited about AJ Barner coming in. You looked at his numbers from Indiana. It wasn't until last year when you watched the spring film, Scar, that you kept saying, oh, Barner, this guy completes what Michigan's trying to do. This guy's like a tackle out there, and he's got hands. Man, I thought the first couple times you were saying, I'm like, wow, Scar's really – I thought maybe you're just like bullish on tight ends overall. But no, you saw it. You saw Barner last year, and, you know, Barner – was a big part of why Michigan was able to.
You know, but Danny, the thing about Barner, you don't. Michigan really doesn't get credit for him. This is the problem with a guy that like Tom Allen over at Indiana, and some of and you know, we take the kid from we take Stewart from Coastal. See, those guys have to get the diamond in the rough like Tom Allen had to do at Indiana and developing him into a player. Jim took him after he was already developed. You follow me? Because Jim probably wouldn't have recruited that kid out of high school, but, you know, he developed at Indiana. So that's the other side of that argument. Someone else gets the credit for that. Danny, just some other thoughts that I read about that I wanted to point out. I read Coach Casulo's comments about Klein, the big tight end. He loved him. I saw him at practice, and I stood next to him. He's a big, thick kid, man, 6'6", 250, and he's a tough kid. So he just reaffirmed the statements I heard Casulo say recently about him. You mentioned it, Big Ten and SEC talking about revenue sharing. So they're talking about that. Missouri and the state of Virginia have legalized it, Denny, so that those schools in those states can pay players now, like directly. No, you know, they're going to have an advantage. Virginia Tech, Missouri. And Kirk Ferentz, Denny, going to not Kirk Ferentz, the kid, Brian.
Brian Ferentz.
Yeah, he's going to Maryland to help out. Listen, he may have not have been the best offensive coordinator, but he's a hell of an offensive line coach. I would take that guy in a minute if something ever happened where we needed an offensive line coach. I think he's a great offensive line coach. Just
not offensive coordinator.
Listen, I don't blame an offensive coordinator for what's going on with the system. The head coach is responsible, man. Don't blame the kid. The old man is calling the shots. We're going to run this. You know, I know, hey, look, I was a head coach. I was a coordinator. You got to do what the heck the guy wants, you know, anyway, that's just my view about it. But anyway, some other things before we get into, unless you wanted to comment on any of that stuff.
I'll blame the Ferentzes. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Hey, Denny, I talked about when I went to practice, I said, a couple position groups, I said, you're going to see some transfers. And one of them was linebacker. Remember I said how much darn talent was at that linebacker position?
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching these kids. I'm like, man, there's like, you know, there's like 10, 12 kids there that can play, man. And sure enough, you know, Bridgman is now in the portal. I thought, he's a good-looking kid, could play for a lot of schools.
Sure.
And then Hayden Moore. Kid out of Colorado was a recruited kid. It was discouraging to see the Beasley kid. That was discouraging. I mean, he's a high school kid. The hell are you doing transferring? You go through 15 practices and you're already, you know, that's what the heck's he thinking? I don't know what's going on there. You're already packing your bag. Anyway, guys, get in that room, man. I remember what it is. My freshman year, there were 12 outside linebackers, okay? I was the 12th one. Okay, so I know what it is to look at a depth chart in a pecking order and not see any daylight.
You might have jumped in the transfer when I went to Illinois.
My sophomore year, I was feeling sorry for myself, Danny. I was mighty low, feeling sorry for myself. And, I probably would have packed it in. It was, you know, didn't have the option back then. These guys have paths of least resistance now. We didn't have it back then.
No.
So anyway, I'm discouraged about losing Beasley. The other guys, look, they weren't starting. You know that's going to happen, but I don't want to lose no freshman kid. And then we lost Herring, the kid that Bellamy coached. He was a good player, but you know, I watched, when we look at this film, you're going to see some kids, this 55, a Phoebe, he's a good player. And 53, Guarnera, he's a good player. So, and you see those guys are getting more reps. And then you're seeing that, you know, that's why he left. Those guys aren't getting the reps. They see the writing on the wall, you know? So it's not like we're losing guys that were starters, man. It's just not happening. Other than the Beasley kid and Saab. Those are the only two guys that we've lost, in my opinion, that, you know, a little discouraging for me.
Yeah, I would add DJ Waller on that list. I really liked what I saw. He was the first corner that was in last year when they were even getting, I don't even know if it was mop-up time. You know, he got some, you know, some snaps here or there, and he got a lot of time last year. And oh, he looks like a playmaker, and you know, he was in the two deep. He might not have, you know, when it shook out, he just might have been looking over there at the corner spot and thought that that was going to be him, and maybe McBurrow's put beat him out, and maybe Kentucky called and said, "Look, man, to your point, they go after Stoops, goes after Ohio, Youngstown. That's where he's from. Where's Stoops from?
Yeah,
Stoops is a Youngstown guy."
Yeah.
Well, okay. That makes a little more
sense. Perry knows all about the Stoops. He played with those guys, man.
No, I know he did, but I didn't realize that Stoops had the Youngstown pipeline.
Well, yeah, they got it. You know, it's going to be hard to they got a connection there. It is what it is.
It is what it is. There you go. You ready for this film?
Yeah, let's, we're going to look. Between Jerry and I, we're looking at every darn play in here because there's a lot of good stuff to see.
Before we start, I just want to thank Quick Cut Video and Analytics for the video that we are going to watch. So,
yeah.
And here it is.
You know, Danny, the coaches, the way they looked at this scrimmage, you know, they had guys in the press box and they were communicating. And anyway, here's just an example of what, you know, the coaches are learning about each other because we're jacked up, we're confused, the defense is confused. And so, you know, it's confusion, and you're going to see some busted coverages later on, but this is why you do it. You get the guy in the press box, you got Wink on the field, you're watching and you're evaluating players. Okay. And you're evaluating coaches too. Wink is evaluating his coaches. How are we communicating? Why are we screwed up? Why do I got to call timeout? Sharone is evaluating Wink. Wink, why are we screwed up? You know what I mean? So that's a lot of that. All those things are going on, you know, during this scrimmage. So I just wanted to point that out. And I got to circle my boy Freddie Jackson here. He's still in the mix. Legend at Michigan for a long time. So he is now working with Coach Alford. You know, he was working with Michael Hart for all that time. And, did I tell you, you know, he was he took the Ypsilanti coaching job years back. Yeah. And he actually called me to see if I wanted to coach with him.
And I just say, you know, when you're talking about all the coaching and everything that has to go in with the communication, Harbaugh seemed like, I don't know if there's a better coach in anywhere in the world. When it came down to pre-snap and getting the plays in and everything else, you know, Michigan rarely had any kind of, situations like that. Sometimes you got to burn timeouts. Michigan was great at that. So going through that, that's what a spring game is for, I would think.
Danny, there's so much of coaching going on right now, trying to screw guys up with motions and shifting and personnel change. That's what you try to deceive. Everybody's trying to deceive, man. You know, the art of war, Sun Tzu, all warfare is based on deception. I thought these guys, they were pretty good here. This center, I'm really liking Crippen, 51. I see why they didn't go get a center. He's a tough kid. He's pissed off. He's been sitting on the bench for 3 years. I think we got a good center for the next 2 years.
Good to hear.
This is Dunlap running hard in here. And good safety support, Danny. I can't see this kid's number. I should have wrote it down. Who's coming up making this tackle here? This guy here. Can you see that?
I'm going to wait and see if I can.
That's a good way to come up and run support. I couldn't see who the hell his number was. And I really like what I'm seeing from Percy. Man, he's a different kid. Anyway, Dun, our running back room is, we got some depth. We got tough guys. And don't forget this, Denny, about our defense these last 2 years. Okay. Jesse Minter was the defensive coordinator. But Rick Minter, his old man, he was an analyst. He was a brilliant defensive mind, defensive analyst. There at practice every day, working with his kid. Wink goes way back with old man Minter. Way back. I think they worked together at Cincinnati. Mm. When John Harbaugh and Rick Minter were at Cincinnati. So anyway, Rick Minter's gone. I just want to talk about him because he was a big factor in our success the last 2 years defensively. Hopefully Wink has another, you know, we're going to get the same kind of production defensively. So I just want to point that out. Wink goes back, way back with Minter, back with the old man. And the role that he played with the success we had defensively these last 2 years. So,
well, Rick Minter was the linebackers coach for Ohio State, Iowa, the Alabama game, and the national championship game, right?
Yeah, Jenny, I go way back with. I mean, I worked the camp with Rick Minter many years, and he is a brilliant defensive coach. Okay, a lot of stuff here, Denny. Okay, so let's look at this formation. And let's, this is nickel personnel. So the first series I did last week, we were in nickel like one time. Okay, Sharon's mixing it up now offensively, him and Campbell. So now we're in nickel. So Danny, the diversity of Michigan's offense, I continue to say it, it helps our defense. So Wink has to see a lot of different stuff. The players have to see different offensive personnel, formations, plays. It helps our defense big time. Wink likes this stunt. We've done it a few times in this scrimmage. This is same stuff we did in 1985. All right, we had this exact same stunt in 1985, and we're throwing the ball to Bell here. But Wink likes this. We're going to slant left. We're going to drop this edge player here. And this is well executed stunt. The linebacker comes free. We just, you know, just doesn't get there in time. The quarterback does a good job, gets rid of it just in time to Bell. But it's executed properly. Edge player comes inside. And the linebacker ends up coming free, but the quarterback does a good job. They get rid of it. And he likes that stunt. You'll see it about three. I've seen it three times already so far in this scrimmage. He likes that look there. Let's get lined up. So we're screwed up on offense now. That's a penalty. All that stuff matters. You know, coaches are looking at quarterbacks. Why are we having penalties? You know, if you got a tight race with the quarterbacks, you know, you can't have that kind of stuff. Let's get people lined up properly and not have penalties, not have guys jumping off sides because we don't know who our quarterback's going to be. But a lot of faith in Crippen, and I really like the improvement from Percy, Denny. The more film I looked at him, he is a tougher kid, a bigger kid. Again, he's a pissed-off kid. He's been sitting on the bench. He's ready. Here's one back, and we're in nickel. And what do? One back set. We got, look at all these guys at the line of scrimmage. So Wink is showing something. Denny, he's got eight dudes up here close. I mean, look at this. Eight guys at the line of scrimmage that could potentially come. I mean, this corner could come off the edge. This guy could come. So you got eight guys that are potential threats with, you know, five offensive linemen and a running back that could block them. So you're seeing a lot of what Wink likes to do. So we run this stunt, but our linebacker loses contain, which is not good. Number 30 loses contain. I don't like our pass protection from 22. He's got to step up and meet this guy and not let him stuff you back into the quarterback. You see the running back here, Denny?
Tavi Dunlap, yep.
Yeah, he's got to meet this guy. The way you coach these running backs, he's got to come up and meet him here and not let him knock you back into the quarterback. So, anyway, Roller's got good punch, but then he loses contain. And Donegal shows his feet, so we can't lose contain. You got good punch on the running back, but you got to have your eyes up as you're taking him on. So this guy's got to feel him and come off and not let that happen. But anyway, you're seeing eight-man pressure. You're getting a taste of Wink, one-back set type of things he wants to do. So, Denny, everybody on our schedule has this film. They're all looking at this stuff. You know, Fresno is looking at this scrimmage. Texas is looking at this scrimmage. What's the difference? What's the difference between Wink and Minter and Jesse Minter? That's what they're trying to figure out. This kid here, Denny, this Kumba, I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
I think so.
But when I saw him at practice, he is a big, tall, lanky kid, and he hasn't played a lot yet. But Mike Morris didn't play a lot early either. This kid reminds me of Mike Morris. Watching him. Big, tall, lanky kid, tough kid. Just needs to play. So here's Nickel again, and here's this same stunt again. So I think we're showing a lot of pressure, but we're running out into a two deep. But this stunt is what it's the same stunt I drew up a couple plays ago. And we executed here, and we really, really well executed. And the tackle has to hold, 71 has to hold Rolder here because this is well executed. These three guys at the top executed properly. He has to come inside. He's going outside. You don't want to, you know, and then he comes free. So it has to be timed up right. You got to know where your gap is. And the tackle ends up holding Rolder there. So that's what I like to see, a well-executed stunt. Wink likes that stunt. Seen it many times. So that's good. That's getting coached up, and we just got to figure out a way to block it. It's a tough stunt to block. But you're looking at all those things in the spring. And did I miss something here? It's just big. Okay, let's move it. Moving along.
All right.
Yeah, we're confused here. Mental mistakes. Denny, I got this written down here because a couple days later, this kid ended up transferring. Mental mistakes equals the bench or transfer. This is there's confusion here. I don't know if it's Waller or this other safety here, but we got a mental breakdown, and this is the kind of stuff that will really piss off your coach and put you on the bench and put you on the, you know, put someone in front of you. You can't have this. This should have been a touchdown if it's thrown right. But we got a mental breakdown here. I mean, you can see it before the ball is snapped. Watch before the ball snapped. Look at all the defensive players, Denny. Okay, let's just start watching the defensive football players. Start watching them right now. Okay, I'm going to run this. Watch in real time. Look at them. You see the communication? They don't look like they know what the hell they're doing. You see them looking around, asking, he's asking. What are we doing? We're confused. And what is the end game? It should have been a touchdown. Throw the ball out there. But there's no one covering them. Now, these two guys are looking at each other. You know, this is a mental mistake. Is it this guy? Is it this guy? Somebody got ripped. And you can't have those. That is, you can lift all the weights you want and recruit all the best players you want, but you make mental mistakes, you ain't playing. It's very, very important when the competition is so tight for some of these position groups. So you got to point that out. Here we are on the goal line, one back. I hope this Barry kid has a good year, number 10. He's wink pressure. Again, I like 51 and 79. Our quarterback drops the ball here. He's not looking at it. He's feeling this pressure. Why is he not taking, it's a good snap. But I hope Barry, this kid was a highly recruited kid right here. Denny, right? Number 10?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Out of California. And, with Moore out. And so this kid is going to compete for it is it going to be Cujo? Who's it going to be? So hopefully, but again, I'm watching 51 and 79. I just continue to see toughness and feet. But that's a mental mistake by our quarterback. And here's Wink, again, bringing pressure. But that's what we've been doing the last 3 years. So this kid here, Barry, I'm cheering for him, man. We need him, Denny, to have a good year. We signed a kicker.
Yes.
We didn't sign him until after the game. A week or so after the game. And maybe this is why we signed a kicker. We can't have that. Maybe that's why we went out and got one.
What's funny is I was watching before the spring game started, and I was charting Samahan. He kicked like 5 or 6 balls just out there. How the kickers get out there before everyone else. And he was 5 for 5 on the kicks that he made. He made one.
It's one thing, when there's no one watching and but when you got the pressure on you. Good point. Anyway, this kid here, the more I watch this 43, he gives me more confidence that he might be the second tight end that can block and catch and be a legitimate all-purpose tight end. So this 43 is a young kid that old Scar has his eye on.
I love it.
Tonelli, I don't know how he says his name.
That's it, Tonelli.
So Sharon was smiling. Couple plays, and we'll get out of this. And Denny, this is the first play of the second half. What was the first play of the game? You remember? Power play, right? First play we draw up. I had questions. This is what I want to find out in this scrimmage. Who are the 225 starters? This is the series where you really want to look at these kids. This might be boring for a lot of fans, but this is where I'm looking at who the heck are the starters. And we come out running power to start the second half. That says something. It tells your player. This is the play we beat Alabama with, the last play of the game. We scored with this football play. Okay, so I think I have the answer to who's backing up 44, and I think it's 45. Who is he, Denny? 45, I think, is our backup fullback, tight end guy.
Noah Howes.
And who's 27 and 58? These guys are young guys that look like they're pretty good athletes. And, again, they're finding the weakness of the defense here. This bubble here, this circle I have here, this is also give credit to Campbell. He's looking at how we're lined up, and Wink is. We got to tighten this up because there's a little problem there. It's really it's a lot of that is about alignment defensively. Who's 27, Denny?
27 in Mays.
In blue.
Oh, 27. Oh,
never mind, because we won't even know who the hell they are because of this game. They had different numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. So forget. I'm sorry. I got to find out who 58 is on defense. This kid, I got to see who the hell that is. He was just running around. He showed me some athleticism.
I think it was Breon Ishmael.
Okay, I watched him in practice. He's an athletic kid. These two guys here, watch out for these guys. I know Wink talked about Ike, right? Awinu. And I like this 55, and this might be part of the reason Herring transferred. This kid right here, this 55. He's got good feet. He's tough, and he's a good looking guard. Kind of a Michael Onwenu type of kid. Just a big, massive kid. So, a few more plays. One back, a base defense versus one back. Now, we didn't run much of this with Minter, but he's got the base defense in. Wink, this is 1985 stuff, Denny. We did all this stuff. Ain't nothing different. He's dropping the weak side edge player, rushing him. You know, this is same stuff. But and he's staying with the base package versus one back. Again, which – and they're in zone coverage. Wink has shown a ton of old school. He's shown me, Denny, that he coached under Jack Harbaugh. To be honest with you, that's what he's showing me. Because I see a lot of old Michigan defensive, and that's what the foundation of our defense has been. You know, three deep zone, two deep zone, slant left, slant right, you know, and it's all coordinated. And it's very similar to the stuff we did and that Coach Jack did. So this, I don't know why they wasted so much time on this. You can see it hit the ground. But this is a big, good-looking athlete here, maybe a few years away from being a factor. Kumba.
We.
Yeah, so keep your eye on him. He's got the neck roll.
Yeah, they had those back in 85 too.
Yeah, that's right. But it's the same stunts, Denny. Same. Okay, here's this looks like base package. What are we doing? Here's again, I talked about 90. This guy reminds here I indicated he reminded me of 32 here of Harold.
All right.
So I guess he reminds me of a couple guys. We got to get some contain up here. Get somebody in his face. He can't sit there all day. The coaches are looking at this. What's this guy doing? You know, this guy right here. Get here. What are you doing? That's not good. Give him all day. And this is not a good decision.
No, it wasn't.
No, not a good decision. But this is a good job by, and this stuff is coached up. Offensive coaches coach this. Watch this 38 here. I don't know who he is, but they coach this. Everybody coaches this stuff. He's gonna strip the ball out after the pick. Watch here. Obviously defensive players, but watch 38. He punches it right out of there. That's a great play. You know, defensive players, you know, he's probably a former defensive player, you know, but that's good. And then Jerry's going to take off from here. That's all I got today, Denny. But Scar is getting more and more confidence with Crippen, with Percy, Ifobi, Big Ike. The more and more of this film I watch, you know, a lot of confidence building for 2025. Tonelli. It looks like we have a guy to back up Bredesen. You know, Denny, I think we have two types of tight ends in Michigan's offense, okay? Mm-hmm. We have tight ends like Klein who will put their hand down at the line of scrimmage and block a defensive tackle at the line of scrimmage. And then we have guys like Bredesen who will play like fullbacks in the backfield. Bredesen doesn't put his hand down at the line of scrimmage. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I think they categorize those guys as fullback / tight end like Bredesen, end line tight end like Klein. And then you got Loveland, who's actually doing a little bit of both. Loveland does a little bit of both. You know, we're trying to get him to be more of an end line blocker. And he's doing both. So yeah, future looks good.
And when I remind you that we are a part of Michigan.Rivals.com, you can go there to join the Maize and Blue Review today. I just added a picture of Zeke Berry. This was a photo taken after the spring game, and you can tell it's Zeke Berry. He's got his chain there, ZB.
Zeke. Well, we're going to need him, Denny. We got to find out who that third safety is. Okay, we know we got Cujo and you got Paige. And Moore probably ain't coming back. So we got to, that's what the coaches are, you know, who's the third safety? Got to find that out.
I'll put that burger, those burgers that you owe me, Scar, on 10 being the starter on the opener against Fresno, along with Paige. I'll have 10 and 7 will be out there as the starting safeties.
Okay, then we got to find out who's the nickel guy. So they're, you know, they're battling it out. You got all summer now, and you got fall camp and competition and the Fresno game, and let's get ready, man. But Scar is getting more and more confident when you look at film. Dane, that's what happens sometimes is you look at a scrimmage as a coach, and I remember this as a coach, you scrimmage and you think you got your butt kicked, you think you were terrible, and you think this, that, and then you look at the film. And you know what? We ain't that bad. We're pretty good. And this guy ain't as bad as I thought. This kid's pretty good, you know. And, just a lot of confidence is building, man.
I like it. Well, everyone, smash that like button. And also, we love those five-star. Michigan might not be able to get any five-star recruits right now through this cycle, but we like those five-star reviews on the Maize and Blue Review.
All right, Danny, go Blue.
There he is, Jim Scarcelli. Great to have him on.